I encourage you, please, to take your Bibles and let's turn together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're continuing our series in this epistle of the Apostle Paul, and we've been looking at, over the last several weeks, the ministry that Paul had with the Thessalonians. And since he had left and gone to Corinth and then on to Athens, he had learned that they were under some immense pressure. And chapter 3 gets into that aspect, and I want to read from J.B. Phillips' translation, while you're following along in your Bible, of this passage of Scripture, and I want you to see the nuance of the language here that emphasizes the crucible that the church was in the midst of pressure that was coming from the Jewish religionists, the Judaizers, as they're called, and the pagans. Because they had believed on Jesus Christ, they were receiving incoming fire from two different groups. Is it easy to be a Christian? No, it's not. And we're finding out more and more about what it's like as believers in Christ Jesus. There are people that despise Christ. And because you're a follower of Christ, you'll be despised as well. Let me read from J.B. Phillips' translation, beginning at verse 1. Of chapter 3, and you follow along. And so at length, when the separation became intolerable, we thought the best plan was for me to stay in Athens alone, while Timothy, our brother and fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, was sent to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. We did not want any of you to lose heart in the pressures you were going through, but to realize that we Christians must expect such things. Actually, we did warn you what to expect when we were with you, and our words have come true, as you know. You will understand that when the suspense became unbearable. I sent someone to find out how your faith was standing the pressure and to make sure that the tempter's activities had not destroyed our work. But now that Timothy has just come straight from you to us with a glowing account of your faith and love and definite news that you cherish happy memories of us and long to see us as much as we long to see you, how these things have cheered us in all the miseries and troubles we ourselves are going through. To know that you are standing fast in the Lord is indeed a breath of life to us here. The first eight verses there begin a paragraph. That's a paragraph there that communicates the pressure cooker of Christian living. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you'd work in our hearts today as we consider this passage of Scripture and understand that living the Christian life is not easy. There are going to be many pressures that come upon us. And Lord, how we respond to those pressures will indicate our walk with Thee. Knowing Your power and knowing Your strength and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to endure those things and to come out without being discouraged or depressed. I pray that You would encourage us this morning as we've gathered together in Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you something here. Anybody know what this is? I grew up here in Milton. My mom had two of these. Both of them were from the 1940s. It's an old-time pressure cooker. And I heard that sound in late spring and early summer when mom would be canning all the beans and peas and corn and whatever tomatoes that we had would go in the pressure cooker that was on the stove, and she would watch it like a hawk. You'll notice that there was a pressure gauge at the top, and then over here on the side was the pressure relief valve in case it got too hot. Pressure cookers have been around for a long time. Did you know that they were invented in the 1600s? And they were developed during the 1700s and 1800s and really have not changed a whole lot since those days. But it was a simple scientific concept. You take heat, water, in a confined space, which raises the pressure, and you will produce the means whereby you can cook food quickly, or you can can vegetables by superheating them inside their jars and then pull them out, and then you'll hear this popping sound as it cools. Bing, bing, those lids sealing down to preserve the good stuff inside of the jars. To this day, you can go into my mom's pantry and there is canned goods all along the wall. There's mason jars, ball mason jars still there that date back to my childhood that have been used over and over and over again. Now, I bring this illustration for a reason. We as believers are in a pressure cooker. We live in a world that surrounds us with hate. And we need to understand and know that. Jesus said, "Marvel not that the world hates you, for," can you finish it? "For it hated me first." This is a reality that you cannot deny. And by the way, to compromise your faith to somehow think that you're going to escape this pressure is the wrong course. We have the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit of God to endure the pressure and the hate. Do I hear an amen? You know, when you put that lid down, you see the little clamps that are across the top? You clamp those things down tightly, and that would bring the lid down so that there were no pressure leaks. And as it heated up, you were watching that bead all the way around to make sure that there was no steam coming out, because if there was, you turned it off, you had to reset the lid and be able to do that. I know, because I spent a lot of time tending to pressure cookers growing up. We had a stool that mom put by the stove and said, "I want you to watch with the pressure. I'm going out to hang up the laundry. If that pressure goes over a certain thing, you holler for mom and you hit the lever on the pressure relief valve. Turn it up and it'll let some of that steam off so we don't blow up the house." Now, as a middle schooler, I took this on. My dad had worked way back with steam locomotives whenever he was in high school, the end of steam. And I just said, "Here I am, I'm tending to a steam engine," all right, which is what it was. That thing would build pressure. Mom had the timer on and it cooked for so long, and then the timer would go off, and then we'd turn off the heat, and then we'd wait for it to cool down, then we'd take the screws loose, take off the lid, and all the good stuff was preserved down inside. I want you to know something about pressure in the Christian walk. Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, He can allow you to endure whatever persecution comes your way, whatever pressures come your way, and you will endure. You will endure. And that's the good stuff. By the way, the Bible says we'll be rewarded. We'll be rewarded in the future because of our faithfulness through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our power. We don't have enough power to endure. We have no power, but with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul was concerned about this church because all these pressures were coming upon the Thessalonican believers. And he was concerned about it. He had felt that pressure. Remember, he and Silas were kicked out of the city. They loved them so much that they wanted them to leave. I was reading about the governor of Arkansas, Sanders. Governor Sanders was with two friends, two moms, at a restaurant in Little Rock. And they were eating. And they went to pay their bill, and she gave a very generous tip. And the owners there, which are pro-leftist type stuff, says, "Good, get out of our restaurant. You're triggering us." Triggering you? We came to your restaurant. We paid for the services and we gave a generous tip. And they kicked them out and said, "Don't come back." Now, all of this was based on the fact that Governor Sanders, Sarah Sanders, is a born-again child of God, and she's made that a focal point in her administration, that she's a follower of Jesus Christ. And because of her Christian faith, she was targeted there, and she was met at the door by the owner of it and said, "Don't come back." Your presence here is disturbing to us and our belief system. Don't come back to our restaurant. Here it is, a Christian enduring the pressure. And she went on, and she did not target, name the people. She just said, I'm praying for them. I'm praying for them that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that was a good response. Under the pressure, no one likes to be targeted. You like to go to your favorite restaurants, right? Can you imagine going to a restaurant and said, don't come back again. Your presence triggers me. They didn't say anything. They hadn't said anything about anything political. They just went to eat a meal. But because she's a born-again child of God and she stands for conservative values, she was targeted. And the two moms that went, we have no idea who they were. They were told to, don't come back because you're with her. Paul and Silas were kicked out of the city. They left. We don't know for sure whether Timothy was a part of that original group. If he was, we have no record that he was kicked out. But he had left, and Paul sent him back for a ministry to check to see how they were doing under what? Everybody say it, please. Pressure. Pressure. How do we do, believers, under pressure? Pressure gets a little heavy. You're a Christian and people know it. And we pull a Peter. Remember what Peter did when the pressure came on? Yeah, you're one of the disciples. No, I'm not. I'm not one of the disciples. All the way down to cursing God. Under the pressure. Now, I'm not here to criticize Peter. But what I'm saying is there is a right response and there is a wrong response. And Paul was concerned that this pressure, that thlipsis is the Greek word. It means to put incredible pressure upon. A pressure cooker. You're in the pressure cooker, Thessalonians, and I want to find out how you're doing. So I'm sending Timothy to you. And we find out the report as we go through. Now, I want us to look here very quickly at the purpose of Timothy's ministry. What was his purpose in coming there? First of all, it's interesting to me that he was the youngest of the trio that Paul sent back. You know, sometimes it's good for young people to deal with pressure. All right, Paul says, Satan is hindering me from going back. Timothy, I need you to go. How many of you say, here am I, Paul, send me. I love pressure situations. How many of you are watching some of the March Madness basketball games? None of you are watching, okay? I'm the only one. And I've been watching Alabama. They've been playing really well. By the way, the coach of Alabama is the son, Nathan Oates, is the son of Larry Oates, who is a professor at Maranatha Baptist University. And I've met Larry on several occasions. He's spoken many, many times at American Association conventions, whatever. But that man, Nathan Oates, knows how to coach. All right, he makes winners. And it's interesting to see. And he says, and he's been interviewed many, many times. He said, the pressure cooker starts at practice. He said, you know, if my players don't know what pressure is like at practice, they'll never be able to handle it on the court. And so my coaches and I, we set out to put pressure on these young men so that whenever they're on the court and they're receiving the pressure from the other team, they know how to deal with it. They're not saying, coach, they're hitting threes. What are we going to do? Oh, we've been practicing that. How do you deal with that offense? How do you stand up against that? Pressure, pressure. And we live in a society today, and sadly, even in churches, where we want to remove all pressure. We got to get out from under any kind of a pressure. No, that's where God makes us. That's where God makes us and grows us into maturity. You will never develop and grow spiritually until you've come under the pressure of life here upon this earth and you run to the source of help that you need in that pressure, and that is Jesus Christ alone. This is the blessing here. So Timothy, I need you to go in my place. Satan has hindered me from going. I need Silas here with me in Athens. Timothy, you're going. And we don't find any pushback from Timothy. We don't hear from Timothy, no, Paul, I really don't feel like this. You know, I just know what they're going through there, and I just don't think I'm the one. I'm not the one for you. I told you I read about the 1881 to 1884 expedition, the Lady Bay Franklin expedition to the Arctic. There were two men out of the 25 that didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. And they told Commander Greely, we don't want to go. Send us somewhere else. Now, Congress had given authority to Commodore Greely to choose the 25 men. And these two men had ended up on his list, and they had distinguished themselves on the battlefield out west. They had distinguished themselves in places of military service overseas. And he said, you've got ship experience. I need you. I don't need seasick workers. Now, when you're picking a crew to go to the Arctic, how many of you know that the only way to get there is by water? All right? So what was he looking for? Men that had proven aboard ship that they wouldn't be seasick the whole time. All right? Now, how many of you have ever been deep sea fishing out in the Gulf? All right? Some of you? And I've heard all kinds of stories, and I've been out on the water for a good part of my life. I've been boating. I've been on ships. I've never gotten seasick. All right? Now, some people have real battles with seasickness, and I'm not making fun. It's a horrible thing. My wife is an example. We found out where sick bay was on a cruise. My wife was so seasick from that she was... Now, I won't go into details. So we go down to the sick bay. That's a good name for it. All right. And there were other seasick people that were there. And they're sharing stories with each other. And I'm like, this is something I don't need to know. I really don't care. But they were all in line to get their shots. All right. So they could handle. Now, can you imagine going on an expedition that's going to take months to get there and to set up, and everybody's seasick? So Commodore Greely said, I'm choosing you because you have a proven track record of not getting seasick on previous expeditions that you've been on. But we don't want to go. So he uses authority. He said, I didn't ask you if you wanted to. You're going on this expedition. It's interesting that both of them died on the expedition. They both froze to death. They had lost so much weight and so forth, but their stories are interesting about how they came along, those two people who didn't want to go and they were upset with Commodore. They came to love him as a commander. He took care of them. He would sacrifice his own food so that they would have plenty to have. And they had demonstrated on the trip that they could endure the hardships of sea travel and Arctic exploration. Let me ask you something. We're all weak vessels. We all fail. That's just human life. But we have the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit of God. And though Timothy was young, Timothy had the same Holy Spirit that you and I have. Do I hear an amen? Well, yeah, but he was especially endued with the Holy Spirit. We have no record of that. Don't make up something that's not true. We have the same Holy Spirit. And so you and I are equipped to handle the pressure. The pressure cooker that you looked at there was made out of cast aluminum. Very thick metal. Built to endure the high pressure situation. Do you know in Christ Jesus and through the Holy Spirit of God, you're built to endure the pressures that will come your way as children of God in a wicked pagan world. You have everything that you need. Everything that you need in Jesus Christ. So, Timothy was sent to do two things. Number one, establish them. This is an interesting word in the Greek language, and it's the idea of making something firm by providing support or buttresses. And I just like, bing, I love history. How many of you have ever heard of a flying buttress? All right. Mostly you see that in Gothic buildings and so forth like that. Here is a picture of a flying buttress. They were developed in 1180 AD, and it was a support. This is a flying buttress right here, these archways. It's an outer column built, and it sustains the inner building. And you'll find these all around the outside, and they're built for the purpose of keeping the internal walls from collapsing under its own weight. All right? That's this Greek word. It's the idea of Timothy going to establish them, to help build through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit, to build those things which will keep the inner wall of your life from collapsing. That's what Timothy's mission was. Number two, it was to encourage. Now, in our King James Bible, it says comfort. That's somewhat misleading because that word is almost always translated encourage or edify. To encourage. Comfort gives the idea that he was putting his arm around him and said, I'm so sorry y'all are going through this pressure. That's not the idea at all. You're going through pressure. I'm here to do what? Encourage you. Encourage you. Back to my basketball analogy. There's a lot of timeouts in basketball games. They don't call timeout for a water break. Are you following me? When a coach calls timeout and they run over to the side, the coach is very animated. Usually very animated. And he's instructing them and he's telling them to do it. And they've got several coaches around them. Each coach is on a different player telling them what to do. They're just getting all over them. I watched a St. John's game the other day and Rick Pitino. They were leading 21-4. And he was over on the sideline just chewing out his number one player. And he was saying, you were not doing your job over here, blah, blah, blah. And they were winning 21. And the most people say, come on, coach, back off, man. You're winning 21-4. But he's a basketball coach. And he gave them a mission, and he wasn't doing it. And so the coach comes in, and he did some encouraging. That's our word here. Now, most of us would not call that encouraging. But you know what St. John's did? They went out and won the ball game. His encouragement spurred them on to do their job. And that was to win the basketball game for St. John's. That's what Timothy did. He came to encourage them. Not to say, oh, I'm so sorry you're under this pressure. That bad old devil making your life miserable. No, that's not what he was doing. Paul had already warned him, you're going to face it from Satan. You're going to face it from this world. It's satanically inspired. But I'm coming alongside to encourage you. Don't you get your head down. You lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. And let's get out there by the grace of God and let's do what God's called us to do. That's why Paul sent Timothy back. Young Timothy, you got a job to do. You are to seek to establish these believers and to encourage them. But he goes on in verses 3 and 4, and this is what's interesting to me. Look in your Bibles, please. He continues on. That no man should be moved by these, we have that word, afflictions. That's given there. Pressure, same word that we find in the next verse, where it talks about tribulation, thlipsis. the idea of intense pressure, that no man should be moved by these pressures, for ye yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. Did you get that? It was part of our appointment. Now, I had an appointment back several months ago for a colonoscopy. All right? Now, that's not fun. It starts the day before by drinking the most terrible solution that you've ever has ever been invented by mankind. And you drink that stuff down, and then you spend the next 48 hours in the small confines of your restroom. And I will not go any further. And then you go in there, and then they do their business to find out if you got any polyps or cancer or anything like that in the colon region. Now, I know this. That's part of the appointment. Doctor, is there another way we could do this? Doctor, this prep stuff is for the birds. And can you just skip all that stuff and let's do it easy? Right? You'd be a multi-billionaire if you came up with an easy way to do it. But it's not easy, is it? And it hasn't changed a whole lot through the years. They keep doing it the same way. And I want an easy way. It's part of the appointment. Now, this is what I'm getting to. The appointment of the believer is to face things that can be very discouraging. They can be troublesome. They can create pressures in your life. And he said, Timothy was sent to you for this reason, that no man should be moved and that no one should be pressed out of shape by difficulties. Back a week or so ago, I was metal detecting on the property down at that end of campus just because it's close to the highway. I said, maybe there's some artifacts down here. And I was out there and I found all kinds of things. The old flail mower we used to use back in the 70s had slung some blades and they were down in the dirt. And I was getting washers. I was getting all kinds of stuff out in the middle of nowhere. And all of a sudden, I got a 96 on my little treasure finder. And it was just squawking. Bang, 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 bang. So I started to dig and I started to dig. And you know what popped up? A Model T hubcap made out of brass and nickel. An older one, not one of the newer ones. The newer ones were made out of steel. When I say newer, 1925 to 1927, all right? They were made out of steel and painted black. This was brass, buried down in there, but it was crushed. And all I could think about was back in 1967 when they were out there with the bulldozer and they were clearing the land out here on campus. And that bulldozer ran right over the top of that Model T hubcap and crushed it and pushed it down into the dirt. And there it sat for nearly 60 years. And I found it. Now that to me is a really cool artifact. Some of you would say, just throw it in the trash can, it's crushed, it's no good. But I washed it and cleaned it all up, studied the history of the Model T hubcap, found out it was one of the older variants from 1913. To 1923, somewhere in that time frame. It still had the threads on the inside where it screwed onto the old wooden spoked wheels that used to be on those things. Now, it was just mind-boggling to me. I enjoy that kind of stuff. My point in this, it was pressed out of shape. And I had to make a decision. Do I try to bend it back out? What happens when you try to bend something that's been squashed for a long time? It's going to break. It's going to break. So I made the decision. I'm not going to bend it back out. I'm just going to leave it in the squashed location, and I'll put it on my desk for display of a Model T grease cap, hubcap. Now, it was pressed out of shape. Can I reuse it on a Model T?
No.
Nope. It's done. It's done. And this is the point that Paul is saying. I sent Timothy to you to encourage you so you don't get squashed under the pressure. Are you following me? We live in a society that is very fragile. Or let's put it this way. They allow themselves to be very fragile. They get crushed by the least little thing. But Christian, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. You have His grace. You have His mercy. You have His goodness. You have His peace. You have everything that you need in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to be crushed. I'm sending Timothy to you because I want to make sure that you don't get squashed by the pressure. Is that a good thing? Why did God raise up pastor teachers for the church? To encourage the saints of God, don't get squashed by the pressures of this world. It's very easy. When we start living in the flesh and we don't live by the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't live according to the good news of Jesus Christ, and we get selfish and we get focused inward instead of focused upward, you can get crushed. And thankfully, God's grace can be ministered in those situations and you can be restored. Amen? You can be restored. That's the glory of Jesus Christ. But isn't it much better not to get squashed? I will never be able to sell that Model T hubcap so it can be reused by somebody else. If they got it in the mail, I put it on eBay. Here's a reusable thing, and they get it, and it's all crushed. And I'm like, what are you selling? That's a fraudulent sale. Boy, I would get it from eBay. I'm not going to sell it. I wouldn't do that. It's not usable, though. Do you want to be usable for the glory of Jesus Christ? Don't allow the pressures of this world to crush you. And they were great, coming from the Judaizers, coming from the pagans. They were just pressuring these believers. And Timothy was able to report that they were standing up. We don't have much time here. The intense nature of sending Timothy was that Satan had arisen against the Apostle Paul, and Satan wanted to stop the work there in Thessalonica. How many of you agree with that? He wanted it stopped. By the way, Satan wants this church stopped. Any church that's preaching God's Word, any radio program that's preaching God's Word, can see and feel the focus of Satan's wrath because we're preaching Jesus Christ. You can become a target. And so Timothy was sent. It was an intense sending. You got to go check on these people. You got to be there to encourage them. And that brings us to the report in verse 6. I want you to see this because this is such beautiful language that Paul uses here. He was well known for being educated. He knew the Greek language. And he calls upon that through the Holy Spirit of God to record verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. What do we find here? Three things, and I'm going to close. Number one, he was encouraged by their, everybody say it please, faith. Encouraged by, is your faith encouraging to others? Does it bring a smile to their face? You know, it's interesting, and whatever you think about Chuck Norris, he passed away this week. In his later years, he was a very strong advocate for the gospel. He used his social media platform to speak of Christ over and over again. He wasn't bullied by the Hollywood crowd. He stood very firmly on Jesus Christ. His faith, and this came out after his pace, his faith stood against a lot of the troublemakers in Hollywood. They didn't cross him. He stood for Jesus Christ. And you can go and you can read his testimonies of how he used his money to further the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm not promoting Hollywood. Please don't go out here, Pastor Todd, with talking about Hollywood and talking about his support for... No, I'm not doing that. I'm sharing with you the testimony of a man who had been transformed by Jesus Christ, and he used his platform for the glory of God. Their faith was strong. Number two, their love was strong. It spoke all the way from Thessalonica all the way to Athens, Greece. Their intense love for each other, their intense love of Jesus Christ, and their intense love for souls there in Thessalonica. Their love was speaking volumes. How about your love this morning? Does your love for Christ, does your love for God's people, your love for a lost and dying world to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ, is it speaking this morning or is it quiet? Their faith and their love was genuine, real, and it spoke volumes. And then finally, and this is an interesting thing that he brings up, their love for Paul was brought out by the report that Timothy made. They wanted to fellowship with him again. It wasn't this, Paul, you came in here and we trusted in the message that you gave. We heard it for the very first time. And we heard the message and we believed, and now we've got nothing but trouble. We've got this problem. We've got the Jews on our backs. We've got the pagans on our backs. We have no breathing room whatsoever. We don't want to see your face here ever again. Was that their response? No. They loved the Apostle Paul because he gave them the message of Jesus Christ, who had transformed their lives, and they longed to be reunited with him again. Is that a good thing? Absolutely. It's a good thing. I want to encourage you this morning. We see Timothy coming alongside these Thessalonians, and they're under pressure. They're in the pressure cooker. They've got the oppression of Satan ministered through the Jewish religionists and through the pagan idolaters, and they're putting all this pressure on the Thessalonians. But the Thessalonians are bearing up. They're bearing up under the pressure. Not because they were super Christians. They just willed to be strong under the pressure. No, that fails every time. Your will is not powerful enough. Who gave them the victory? The Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to see this brought out as we continue here in these verses to come. But let's finish by reading the last two verses. I want you to see this. We'll pick up with this next time. But in verse 3, notice verse 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our pressures and calamities by your faith. It's translated in our King James Bible, affliction and distress, but it's the word thlipsis again. Pressures, calamities. Your faith has encouraged us and comforted us. There's the good use of that word, comfort there. The idea there, we've been encouraged by you. For now we really begin to live, not if, but since, that's the Greek word there, since you stand fast in the Lord. Listen, we want to be a blessing and encouragement. Amen. We want to be a blessing, not a blasting. We want to honor God and encourage fellow saints in the Word of God. How do you do that? Do you paste on a Channel 10 smile? You love those guys that get on the news? 16 people were murdered today. And they got this fake smile that they're on there, you know, and it just doesn't seem to fit. And they're smiling just up time to the time when the red light comes on the television camera, and then immediately they go to, someone forgot to bring me my water. Oh, we're back on. We got the fake smile, the fake emotions. That's not what God wants. He wants real, genuine, life-transformed believers, transformed by the grace and glory of Jesus Christ, to be able to withstand the pressures of this world. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the written Word of God, expressing the will of the Father in revelation to us. We would not know this apart from the revealed Word of God of what you did there at the church at Thessalonica. We would not know that they were able to stand up to the pressures, not in their own strength, Not because they willed to be strong, but rather that the Holy Spirit of God had been working in their hearts and lives, and their faith and their love was demonstrated outwardly. Lord, would you work in our hearts and lives? Every one of us are under the gun. We're under the pressures of a culture that despises thee. We're under the pressures of those that seek for us to bow the knee to their cultural expectations. And we have to take a stand, just like the Thessalonians did. We will not purchase your idols anymore. We will not follow your gods, small g. We will stand with our Savior, Jesus Christ, through his power and through his grace. Lord, that takes character. It takes submission to the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts and lives. We face it in subtle ways, but sometimes we face it head on. I pray that you'd strengthen your believers to take heart from the encouraging report of Timothy to Paul, that these believers were standing strong. They were following after the... Oh, they had some confusion. They thought that perhaps the rapture had already taken place and they were enduring the tribulation period, but they were corrected in that belief by the testimony that's shared in chapter 4. I pray that you would encourage us to not give in to the pressure, to collapse under it, but rather stay strong in thee. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.